We'll begin our service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The reading this morning from to open the service is Psalm 20. The reading will be from the modern King James Version of the Holy Bible. You can follow along with your pew Bibles or whatever. Psalm 20, a Psalm of David. May the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you, send you help from the sanctuary, and uphold you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. May the Lord grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your plans. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your prayers. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. And now from the Favor Hymns of Praise, hymn number 376.
I think I'll learn it right along with you. I'm not sure that I know. Play it again, huh?
Savior, what a wonderful Savior.
Jesus, my Jesus, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. To Him is given all my heart, what a wonderful Savior. The world shall never share a part, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
We'll continue our reading of the history of the early Christian church as it's recorded in the book of Acts this morning, chapter 9, beginning at verse 23 to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. And after many days had been fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying in wait was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night in order to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and told them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and argued against the Grecians. But they undertook to kill him. But when the brothers knew it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he also came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had kept his bed 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and take your bed. And he arose immediately. And all who lived at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and kind deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And because Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, asking that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called all the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he stayed many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Sing hymn number 16 from the Favorite Hymns of Praise. Hymn 16.
I think I'll learn another one with you. That you did a good job picking them up. Love you. the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, who angels hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruled by the fall, now devising salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Of all the earthly kingdom queen, who reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
I don't know how well acquainted you are with the new hymn book here. It's new for some of us. Do you have a request that you'd like? Anybody have a request hymn? Otherwise, I think maybe Chuck would pick one out for us.
Do you have one? 174.
174.
And okay. Leaving room for Jesus. Have you any room for Jesus?
Open, bid him enter.
Tomorrow you may call in vain. Run for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word open. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and the Savior's pleading says, run for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you
morning, instead of our normal reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we'd like to read the sermon text, which is a little longer, so I'll read it at this time. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 7 and running through verse 16. And Elijah drank of the brook, and after a while the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and live there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to keep you there. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, I pray you, bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, I pray you, give me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have a cake, but only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, so that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. But Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and then make for you and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not be emptied, neither shall the jar of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house ate many days. And the barrel of meal did not empty, neither did the jar of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. And now from the chorus book, hymn number 166.
You
you said in your time, in your time, in your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time.
Once more.
In your time, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time, in your time, in your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time.
If you'd like to follow along during the sermon, why, 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 7. We see him sitting out by the brook all alone, quenching his thirst, which with the water which flows in that brook. And every morning, just as God had said, and every evening, the ravens come bringing bread and meat for Elijah to eat. But then, very gradually, it began to happen. The brook, slowly but surely, began to dry up. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. A test of faith now for the prophet. Question: why did the brook dry up? Answer: because there had been no rain in the land. In other words, from what we would call natural causes. And I believe this is even a greater test for Elijah. Doesn't it seem easier when God comes down all of a sudden and takes something away? Job didn't have any trouble seeing the hand of God that day when everything went haywire for him. And he lost just about everything he had. But at the end of the day, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But I believe this was a little more difficult, because it's a little harder to see God's hand in this when it was a perfectly natural thing. A heathen weatherman, even the weatherman over in La Crosse, could have predicted that the brook was going to dry up because there hadn't been any rain. And so can I try and imagine what Elijah must have felt like as all of a sudden he noticed that the level of water was dropping slowly but surely. And then one day the last trickle disappeared and the brook Cherith had lived up to his name, drought and trench. And now all it was a dried up trench. Now is the time for faith. And how is it with you when your brook starts to dry up? Not all at once, but little by little, and you can see it coming. Now is the time for Elijah, and time for you and I to believe that truth in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Have you ever noticed how fickle we can be? That we trust God in the big thing, we don't doubt for one minute that his son died on the cross and that blood is sufficient to wash away our sins. And yet, we question whether God is going to provide for us in the little things. And the argument the Holy Spirit gives us is this: if God has already done the big thing, don't you think he's going to take care of the little things too? I mean, this has already happened. The story of God's Son dying on the cross for your sins is fact. You are forgiven. You're heirs of eternal glory. Now, don't worry about what you're going to have to eat or what you're going to have to drink. That's the easy part. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. Elijah had waited for this, and now it came. And there are times in your life and mine that that's what we do too. Sit and wait. Be still and know that I am God. And I think especially in our day when churches are so feverishly busy doing this, that, and every other thing, that maybe God's command to us at this time is, don't just do something, stand there and wait and see what I'm going to do for you. And then also this command in Proverbs 3, which we read last week, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Some of this stuff you can't figure out because it doesn't figure on paper. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What's next for Elijah? A surprise. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. You remember Zidon? We heard about the Zidonians last chapter. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians. Arch enemy of God and his people. We're going to learn later that Jezebel is shedding the blood of the prophets from one end of the country to the other. And now Elijah is supposed to go to Zidon, which is her stamping grounds. And Ahab is looking high and low for him, wants to kill him on sight. This is the last place in the world that Elijah would have gone had he been calling the shots. But Elijah, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. And now another surprise. For I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. A woman who herself has lost her chief human means of support. A widow. Not only a widow, But we're going to find out that she was a poor widow. Not only a poor widow, but a very poor widow. And not only that, but she's also got a son to provide for. And she's going to provide for the prophet? God moves in mysterious ways. Well, Elijah obeys. And as he approaches the village, he sees one of the most touching scenes in the whole Bible. He notices out there all alone a widow woman bending down to the ground gathering sticks. Not a whole bundle, only two. And he says to her, "Go get me a drink, I pray thee." And water was precious in the land, but she went to get it. And as she was going, he called out and said, "Bring me also a cake to eat." And then the truth came gushing out. "I don't have any. All I've got is one handful of meal in the barrel and a tad of oil. And I'm gathering two sticks so I can prepare it for me and my son. And we'll have one more meal together and then die." And this woman is one of God's elect, one of his chosen ones. Does it surprise us that one of God's people should be brought this low? I mean, literally scraping the bottom of the barrel, which is right here is where this terminology came from, I'm sure. At the same time that Elijah was out there in the wilderness watching the brook go down, 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 this woman was in her home looking at the barrel of meal and watching it go down, down, down. I mean, now there was only a handful left. That was it. No way of getting any more. And God's command to her is, give it away. Again, a shocking, shocking command. But it was a command that was also accompanied with a promise. First off, with these words, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." Now, you've got to be kidding. Here's a widow that's got a child to provide for, and all she's got is a handful of meal left in the middle of a drought, and God says, "Don't be afraid." Oh, you know what she's got in her heart? What Jesus gives you, "Peace I give you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Nobody in the world could have been in this situation without being scared half to death. The devil's children tremble at even the thought of something like this. There was a woman in Brainerd one time that used to go around from house to house begging for pieces of bread. When she died, they found thousands of dollars stuffed away in the mattress of her bed and all the way through the house. The woman was wealthy, but she was scared half to death of coming up short someday. That's how the devil's children react. This is a child of God. She doesn't have to be afraid. She's got a father that's promised he's going to provide for her. And that's what Elijah's calling her attention to. Don't be afraid. You go make me a cake first and then for yourself and your son. And this is the promise. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste away, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Then you're not going to need it anymore. Now, how's the widow going to react to this? Is she going to give away the last handful of meal? And if she does, will the promise of God hold? Will there be a miracle where the meal somehow or other for almost 3.5 years never wastes away? Well, she did, and it didn't. Okay, now let's turn the clock ahead, 900 years. The scene is a synagogue in the city of Nazareth. The preacher happens to be the Son of God. And he points to this very text that we've been studying. And he says, I tell you a truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, except unto Zarephath, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And no sooner were the words out of his mouth than a violent reaction broke out. And they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. This little sermon almost cost him his life. So angry they were that they wanted to kill him. Why was the devil so upset over this reference to the widow of Zarephath? What lessons are there? What lessons of comfort for Elijah, for the widow, for her little son, and for you and me? This is precious. Little wonder the devil hates it so much. Let's look at a few lessons for Elijah. Lesson number one. God often sends help from very odd places. Have you noticed that in your life? When you're in trouble and you need help, usually the people you're relying on are going to fall flat. But God will touch the heart of somebody that you never even imagined would help you out. And that's where the help comes from. God has so many, many ways of keeping his promises. I mean, here was a widow that didn't have hardly anything. But that's where the help came from. Lesson number two for Elijah. You be faithful in preaching the word of God, and don't you be afraid of anybody. Not even the wicked King Ahab. Because God's going to provide for you. Lesson number three. There still are believers in the world. There will be a time when Elijah will doubt that, feeling that he's the only one left. And sometimes it really seems that way. But God is not going to have his son be a shepherd without a flock of sheep. And though the flock is small, it's very precious, and they're here. Satan can't stand them out. Lesson number four for Elijah. Don't play the numbers game. And here's a prophet that's used to preaching in front of probably pretty large congregations. And now, for 3.5 years, his congregation is going to be in the home of that widow and her son. 3.5 years. Not what some church hierarchy would call a prime mission field.
In fact, a lot of them would close the doors. But what a mission it was. What lessons are there here for the widow? Lesson number one, obedience to God is sometimes very difficult. It goes against the whole grain of human thinking. And here was a widow that not only had herself, but a son to provide for. And Satan always likes to throw this out. If you follow the commands of God, your children are going to pay for it. That's what he hit him with when they came out of the wilderness. Your wives and your children are going to perish out here because you followed the command of God. Oh, no, they didn't. In fact, the children were the ones that made it to the promised land. The others fell in unbelief. Lesson number two. Cling very closely to those promises of God, because every time he gives a command, he also gives a promise to go with it. And if you believe that promise, there's not going to be one bit of fear in your heart. Nothing at all. That's the third thing she learned. Fear not, because you're always going to come up short. You're never going to come up short. Children of the devil always do. Children of God never do. It's never happened yet. As long as the earth has been spinning, there's not been one time when any of God's children have ever lacked anything they've needed. The record will remain unbroken. Another lesson for her, God always blesses obedience. Every single time. And another lesson, what a blessing it was for her that Elijah came to her. Now, in the eyes of the world, it would seem just the opposite, wouldn't it? Here's another mouth to feed, and I'm having enough trouble feeding the one of God. Oh, not at all. It's always a blessing to be able to help one of God's people. The Lord watches that. Now, we're just about out of time, but what about that little child? Those little eyes that were watching every day and kept looking in that barrel, and the meal is still there, and we ate it yesterday. Do you think this little child was ever afraid of anything again about coming up short and not having enough to eat when he had seen this miracle from God? Don't you think he was like that little boy out in the wilderness 900 years after this one lived? When he had 5,000 men plus women and children, nothing to eat. And Jesus said, where are we going to get something to feed these people with? The disciples just scratched and said, we don't know. A little boy there had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Had Philip bring him to Jesus, and you see what Jesus did with that. And there's an unseen person in this text, the widow's former husband, and I'd like to believe that he was looking in on this. And he had lived with his wife and taught her where to go in time of trouble, and she did, and she believed the word of God, and God provided for her. And I believe he had faith in that promise of God on his deathbed. Leave your fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let your widows trust in me. Now you and I face our own test of faith. But you know, the difficult things have already been done. It has already happened that there was a widow that only had one handful of meal and she gave it away. That's already happened. And she didn't starve either. And someday soon, Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to open all the graves and everybody's going to stand before him. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. You and I are going to be there too. And we're going to be standing next to that widow. Pray God that we don't have to blush when we stand next to her. May the Holy Spirit give you and I the same faith that she had. Trust in the promises of the Lord and don't be afraid. Amen. We'll close now with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the water of life and the bread sent down from heaven. And you, through your precious blood, have brought us back into the family of God so that we can look upon God not only as our Creator, but also as our Father. And you yourself have assured us that if we do seek your kingdom first, all these other things will be added to us, because our Father knows that we have need of all these things and always provides. We ask you to give us that peace in our heart, that we may live each day to your honor and glory, knowing that everything is beautiful in your time, and that we never, ever have to be afraid of anything. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our